Welcome to the Corner of Film podcast. It's a film podcast about film that is the official podcast of cornerofffilm.com, which is a film website where I write lots of things about film. I'm Niall. With me is my lifelong friend and a huge, huge nerd, Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Niall.
Hello. Hello. It's lovely to have you here again. I'm going to tell you every time.
The pleasure is all mine.
Yeah. No. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. Wow. Maybe it's a mutual pleasure, which is the best kind.
Mutual understanding.
Yeah. Yes. Mutual pleasure. Okay. I'm going to avoid the word segments this time.
No more segments.
No, it came up a lot last episode, and I mean, I edited some out. So for people who are listening, just know there was more segments you didn't. Not more segments, just more use of the word segment.
There was a lot of segments.
It was bad, really bad. So to start with, Jack, I'd like you to tell me, what have you been watching?
Well, this week I watched Heathers. Have you seen it or know of it?
I have not, and I don't really know anything about it. So please enlighten me.
So it's one of those films that I've always seen, on shelves. It's got like a massive like cult status, like Donnie Darko, that kind of thing. But it's a 1989 film starring a very young Winona Ryder. I think she's about 16 in this.
Right.
And Christian Slater, who plays an absolute psychopath. It's a really good film. I really enjoyed it. It's like proper 80s. Like, you know, 80s films just have that.
Yeah,
that vibe, that
unspeakable quality. That,
yeah, just love ineffable. It's very 80s.
Yeah, this is ringing a bell. Where is it up on something?
I don't know. It might be on Amazon. I don't know.
It's come up recently.
Blu-ray, but I can't really talk about it too much without kind of ruining it. But the basic kind of thing is Winona Ryder plays this. I guess she's more popular than she realizes, but she hangs out with three other girls, all named Heather, hence Heathers. And it's very clicky. And then this new guy turns up at school. I think his name is JD. And he's like super cool, kind of a bit weird, actually. I mean, he's cool if you're at that high school, but sitting in the corner, leather jacket, actually kind of giving off a bit of like, dare I say it, school shooter vibes.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, she gets involved with him, and it gets a bit weird. That's all I'm going to say. It's quite a, again, it's kind of like a very dark comedy film.
Oh, I like those. That's intrigued me.
Yeah, it's good. I would definitely check it out. I don't know what to compare it to. It actually does kind of have like Burbs kind of feeling about it. I don't know whether it's like 80s, like visually, that kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, thing. No, I think I get what you're saying, that kind of comedy, not comedy, but funny, but not funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's really good.
Oh, that sounds intriguing. You've piqued my interest.
What about you? What have you been watching?
Oh, do you know what? I've actually watched quite a lot.
More than me.
So I don't sleep, which gives me plenty of time to watch everything and anything. Oh. So I did an Adam Sandler double feature.
Nice.
I did The Wedding Singer, mm-hmm. which is just brilliant. I'd forgotten how brilliant The Wedding Singer is.
It is a good one.
Yeah, he's great in that. And then I watched Little Nicky, which I love, but it hasn't held up as well as...
No.
There's a bit of homophobia in there. There's not, you know, just a little... In the writing, they're not homophobes, you can tell.
Very of the time, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's a bit, yeah. And the CGI, I had completely forgotten that there was any CGI. The bit where he turns into bugs was like a PS2 cutscene.
Yeah.
That was really bad. But yeah, Little Nicky, I always enjoy it. I'd never watch it and think, oh, I don't want to watch the rest of this. Like, I always enjoy it all the way through. But
yeah,
it's honestly, it's not one of his best.
It's not up there for me either.
No, but it's enjoyable. I also watched Brothers, Fantastic Four, Hereditary. They're all reviewed. They're all up on the site. If you want to read them, please do.
You were busy.
I was busy, but I've also watched The Road for the first time.
Oh, now that is a bleak film.
I was, do you know what, that was the only word I have to describe it. It was so bleak that I didn't want to review it. I was watching it, and because I'd never actually seen it. I'd heard a lot about it. People had recommended it to me several times, and I knew that I'd like it.
Yeah.
But I sat down to watch it, and just as it went on, I was like, oh, okay, this is really sad.
Very depressing.
Yeah. And I mean, it was brilliant in terms of, Viggo Mortensen is incredible.
He's so good.
And I mean, everything I've seen him in, I've loved him in. He's been pretty reliable. And the boy, I honestly can't remember his name.
No, I can't either, actually.
The actor, I mean, the character is just called Boy.
Boy, yeah.
Just Boy. But he was good. I enjoyed it, but I also came away from it just really, really depressed.
It does put you in a weird mindset.
It does.
I'll tell you what, that bit where they're in the house, in the cellar.
Yeah, no, the bit in the cellar really did. Awful. It was just,
That's what I started. I've been watching The Walking Dead since like day one. I stopped a long time ago. That is the kind of level of like scary and messed up they should have gone. Like that's, you know, that kind of apocalyptic thing. That's the kind of stuff I like.
Yeah, I felt similar about The Walking Dead. Like the only series I genuinely enjoyed was series 3. I stopped watching at like maybe season 6, something like that. But
yeah,
the one in the prison, that was kind of the bit I liked. Everything else was a bit like 1, 2, and 3 were pretty good. And then
yeah,
I just
the
thought
farm was good.
But I mean, speaking of TV, so, you know, I know it's not a TV podcast, but I'm sure our handful of listeners will forgive the intrusion of TV. I just finished watching Parks and Rec for the first time all the way through, which I really liked. And I've just started Invincible.
I don't think I've even heard of Invincible.
Oh, it's exactly your sort of thing. It's animated. It's thingy from The Walking Dead. Stephen
Yeun.
Yeun, thank you. Yeah, he's like a young guy whose dad is like a Superman sort of figure. And he has been waiting to get his powers his whole life. And the first episode, he finally gets his powers. And it's, I won't give anything at all away, even like from the first episode, but honestly, watch it. It's great. It's quite gory. It's not.
Oh, so is it like an adult animation?
Yeah, it's sort of in the style of anime, but it's not.
Okay.
Like in terms of visually, it's sort of in the style of anime, but it's not at all. Like really gory. Just in the first episode, you'll kind of get a feel for that. But I've watched the first couple and yeah, that was really good. So
awesome. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, so now I feel like I've just given a massive list of all the stuff I've watched, but that's...
It's always good to have a list. We like a list.
This is true. So I guess we have got our trivia quiz to do, which I believe we did. We mentioned we were going to do it in the last episode. If we didn't, then that was a big reveal.
Here it is.
It's a trivia quiz. We've each brought along 5 pieces of... Maybe obscure, maybe not. Movie trivia.
Not too obscure. I need to kind of gauge how much, you know, what kind of knowledge you've got.
Okay, well, I've got, if you go first, I've got 5 questions of my own, but I also brought 5 backup questions just in case we doubled up. If we blitz through the first 10, then I can always give you the next 5.
And sounds good.
Just blow you away with my research abilities.
Just knowledge.
Go on, Jack. You start us off. Hit me with some sweet, sweet trivia.
Trivia question number 1. What is the name of Principal Max Anderson's alter ego in Billy Madison?
Oh, no. I've not seen this in years and I love it, but I don't remember. I'm going to take a punt at it because I know it's a Sandman creation. Is it Rex Spexford?
It's close. Well, it's kind of close. Well, it's not really, but all I would say is, I'll let you have another stab, have another go, right? So I would just think of his like physical appearance. It's kind of...
Okay, who plays him again?
Oh, I don't know. But you know, I'm talking about the principal, the big fat.
Vaguely. Yeah. All I can think of is Chris Farley as the bus driver now.
He kind of looks like Chris Farley.
Oh, yeah. No, I do know the one. I do know the one. He's a Saturday Night Live guy, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No?
Not a clue. Not a clue.
Okay. His wrestling name, because he is a wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
Is The Revolting Blob. Which is very, very Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's ringing a bell now.
Yeah, he's kind of like in love with him, and he like passes him like love notes at the back of the classroom.
Yeah, I do. I need to watch this again though, because I miss that film. That's it such a great film.
Great film.
Ridiculous, but great.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So my first question is this: which breakfast cereal company financed the production of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh my god. I'm trying to think if that film is British or not.
I don't believe it is, but no, I will give you a small clue. It's not a cereal company that you'd necessarily think of in terms of like, okay, well, it's a film about a chocolate.
Right.
A chocolatier.
There's no Weetos involved then?
No, not the Weeto. It's not the Weeto scientist that financed it.
It's Warner Brothers, isn't it?
I think they released it, yeah. But which cereal company financed the whole production?
The whole production. This is probably going to be completely wrong because it seems too obvious. But it's not Kellogg's.
No, it's the Quaker Oats Company.
The Quaker Oats Company, no way.
Yeah, they financed the Willy Wonka movie. I found that out and I was like, right, well, that's the best trivia in the world.
Is that one of their, like, is the exterior shots of the factory? Is that a Quaker Oats factory?
I don't actually know. But what I do know is, I mean, citation kind of needed because I can't remember where I read this, but I have read it. They used the profits to fund and sort of publicize their own Wonka bar company.
Oh, no way.
Which, no, yeah, a Wonka company that actually never produced a Wonka bar that also didn't do very well. But the film itself did really well. So amazing, well done, Quaker Oats.
Yeah, that's kind of a win, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so I feel a bit better now that I've stumped you.
Yeah, after we're both you stumped not doing me, great.
I got my revenge.
Okay.
Disgusting Blob's Revenge.
Well, I would watch that as well.
That would a sequel to Billy Madison or a spin-off about...
Do you reckon he'll ever do that?
That would be amazing. I would pay good money for it.
He's not done any sequels, is he, to his films? Apart from Grown Ups.
Well, Grown Ups too, but no, I don't think so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So my second question, which I'm now doubting whether it's too hard or not, too easy. Okay. No, it's quite a tricky one. I take that back.
Okay,
so I apologize. In Superbad, what kind of lunchbox does young Seth keep his collection of drawings in?
Oh, man, I know this. Oh, all I can think of is Marge Simpson's monkey's lunchbox. I know it's not. He doesn't keep it in his Marge Simpson monkey's lunchbox.
That would be great.
That would be, but that's not it. Is it something like... Like the $6 Million Man or something weird like that.
Do you know it's not? But I feel like that film or that name does come up in that film. I don't know at what point, but that sounds really familiar.
Yeah, maybe it's a Bill Hader thing. I can hear him talking about the $6 Million Man.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, go on, hit me. I've not.
Oh, that's all right. It was a bit obscure, but I was just trying to wrap my brains.
That's a good one.
A Ghostbusters lunchbox.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Nice and innocent.
Nice, that is, and it's full of phallic imagery.
Wieners.
It's disgusting.
It is gross.
Christian podcast. Okay, so this is one that I feel like you'll possibly know because you're a bit of a Star Wars nerd.
I'd like to think so.
It's not actually, it's only loosely about Star Wars, but...
Okay.
You know, okay. So my second question is, John Williams famously composed the scores for the Star Wars saga, but he accidentally inserted music from Attack of the Clones into which other film?
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Oh, that's a slam dunk. Bonus point if you can tell me exactly where.
You know where it is? It's in the Quidditch scene when Harry and Malfoy are going like next to the pitch in like the underground bit.
You've just knocked that right out of the park. You're 2 points ahead of me now.
I feel horribly
ashamed of myself.
Harry Potter and Star Wars, I shouldn't get that wrong. Two of my favourite things.
No, exactly. And thing is, like, John Williams quite famously composed both and they came out at the same time.
Yeah, it got to be easily done. He must be sitting there going, no one will know, it's fine.
Well, do you know, it's not particularly jarring. Like, unless you're looking for it, I don't think you'd necessarily notice that. Because
no, definitely not.
It's the chase scene, isn't it? The music is from the chase scene at the start of Attack of the Clones. And it's thematically very similar to what's already been sort of playing over the Quidditch match. So
yeah, it's very John Williams.
It is very. But then everything John Williams does is very John Williams.
Gold.
Absolute gold. Okay. Okay, go on then.
Okay, where are we at? Number three. Okay, this one is kind of easier.
Okay.
Going back to Ghostbusters. What is the most important thing to remember when busting ghosts with a proton pack?
Never cross the streams.
That is correct.
I mean, if I hadn't got that, then I'd have to change my job.
We'd have to reevaluate the podcast.
No more writing about film.
No.
You don't know basic ghostbusting protocol.
Law.
Okay, so I've got 1 point. But you have got 2 points.
I feel bad because I stole like a bonus point. I wasn't aware.
Do you know what? You got the exact moment in the exact scene. It's only fair.
And I promise you, I didn't know that because of IMDb trivia. I'm sure it's on there, but I don't know at what point in my childhood I was like, that sounds familiar. But
yeah, do you know what? As soon as I read that, I was like, well, that's exactly the sort of trivia that you would just have in your head.
Yeah, pointless trivia.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing that you'd really excitedly text me about in the middle of the night.
I'm glad you find it interesting.
I think that's why we have a chemistry, because we find these things equally
You are
exciting.
The Ginny Weasley to my Harry Potter.
You're the Ginny Weasel to my Harry Potter. Okay, so going from Harry Potter and Star Wars to the MCU, which... honestly, I've kind of stopped following, but we can go into that a bit more later in the news section. But in Avengers Endgame, Thor is found living in a small town called New Asgard. The town actually made an earlier appearance in the MCU, but in which film?
Oh, in another MCU film or that film?
Yep. No, in an earlier MCU film, like much earlier.
Well, I think that they filmed it. It's in like Devon or Cornwall, somewhere like that. It looks like that.
Do you know what? I honestly have no idea. It does look like that. I have no idea where it was actually filmed. But the fictional town did appear briefly in a... I'll give you a small hint. It was in a Phase 1 film.
In a Phase 1. Right, okay. I'm trying to think what kind of film would take us to that kind of planet area world part.
It is on Earth somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think it's Iron Man. Oh, is it another Thor? No, probably not. Oh, it's not in Captain America, I know that much. Do you know what? I don't know. I'm going to take a stab at... I'm going to say... No, it won't be another thought. I'm rambling. Tell me what it is. What is it?
Well, you've just said it wasn't in Captain America, you know that much.
Was it actually?
Do not know that much.
What point?
So, you know, right at the start where the Red Skull gets the Tesseract?
Oh my, is that there?
So it doesn't... It's not like a big thing, but it comes across the screen as Tonsberg.
Right.
And when it's New Asgard, it says New Asgard, formerly Tonsberg.
No way.
Yeah.
So it's actually like in the universe. They acknowledge that it's...
Same town. I mean, it's not referenced like explicitly that it was where they found it or anything, but...
That's cool.
Maybe... I'm sure, look out for that. Like, Marvel would probably try and tell you it's like a... Well, Thor was drawn to the residual energy of the Tesseract.
Yeah, some nerd somewhere.
Yeah, probably. Nerds. Okay, so still 2-1.
That was a good one.
I thank you.
So this next one is a bit of a mix-up.
Okay.
Niall.
Yes.
Can you tell me how many acting credits does Nicolas Cage currently have, I say currently because he makes a million films, have on IMDb? And I'll allow two films either side of the correct answer.
Do you know what? This is... a really weird question, because a few weeks ago I decided to make it my life's goal to watch everything he'd ever made.
Oh.
And I made an alphabetical list of all his films.
No way.
Yes. That said, I'm not exactly sure on the number. I want to say it's about 85.
Final answer, or do you want have another stab? Have another stab.
Okay. Trying to think. No, it's less than that. Okay. I'm going to go with about 68.
Okay, I can tell you it's currently sitting at 106.
Oh, man.
106. That man works.
Yeah, do you know what? I love Nicolas Cage.
He is great.
I honestly think the man is, he's a genuine talent who has been in some awful movies and done some terrible, really weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like he makes odd choices, but there's like lots of like video essays you can watch about like the theory behind his acting. And when
theory.
He talks about it, he's very, like, he's quite studied on his craft. Like, he knows what he's talking about. And he bases a lot of his stuff on, like, silent movies, like, silent horror movies. And his, like, all-time favourite movie is Metropolis.
Well, you know what? I can see that now you've said that. Because he's a very, like, expressional, like, his
face.
Yeah,
it's all sort of in his face and his, like, and I don't think anyone will argue that he's an incredibly entertaining man. So
he is a pleasure to watch.
Do you know what? That is a really good trivia question.
106. I knew it was high, but I mean, that's
yeah. I didn't think it was that high.
No.
That's really upsetting that I didn't get that.
No. Well, now you know.
Okay. So my next question for you is one of my favorite facts of all time, which I will explain when I've given you the answer.
Okay.
Christian Bale's performance as Patrick Bateman in American Psycho is iconic.
Yeah.
But which celebrity did Bale use as the basis for the character?
Ooh. Now, that's not very flattering, whoever it is. That's not a good character to be based upon.
No, it's not. But once you know it, you're like, oh, yeah, it really is. Like, it's,
so a celebrity?
Yeah, a proper A-list movie star.
Wow. I'm trying to think who's that kind of like absolutely insane. I'm automatically going to Jack Nicholson, but that's not the case because he's apparently
he's
lovely,
a sweetheart.
Lovely man. Yeah.
Yeah. Just eating his like giant hot dog at a Lakers game.
Oh, God. Probably sitting courtside next to Adam Sandler.
Yeah, he normally is courtside at every Lakers game.
Love it.
But no, it's not. It's not. It's not Jackie Boy.
Do you know what? I genuinely have no idea.
Oh, it was Tom Cruise.
Really?
Yeah, so he is quoted as saying that the performance is based on Tom Cruise did an appearance on Letterman.
Yeah.
And Christian Bale was actually quoted as saying that he had this very intense friendliness with nothing behind the eyes.
Oh, that's awful.
That is Tom Cruise, though. Like, when you watch him, especially on talk shows, it's creepy.
That's the Scientology, isn't it? That's that.
Yeah, and this is sort of one of my favourite facts because Tom Cruise is a really interesting man.
Oh, he is.
I'm kind of fascinated by him, but he is terrifying.
Yeah, he's a weird one.
And you know what? He actually has come up in this week's news as well. So
we can
probably talk about him more later.
We can dissect that in a bit.
Yeah, let's have a poke at Tom Cruise.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
I wonder how he feels about that. Do they get on?
I honestly have no idea. To be perfectly honest, I get the impression Christian Bale doesn't get on with a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
Although he does, who was it? Matt Damon, when they were promoting, what was the racing film they were in together?
Oh, Le Mans?
Yeah, they were doing some like publicity stuff for that. And Matt Damon was talking about how he passed up a chance of like a quarter of Avatar's box office because he didn't think it would do well. And Christian Bale was like really laughing. Like they had quite a nice dynamic.
Oh, that's all right,
so. I mean, they both, Christian Bale and Tom Cruise, quite famously had their, like, on-set blow-ups, didn't they?
Oh, on Batman.
Terminator, Salvation.
Oh, Terminator.
Do you remember when the guy walks across the shot and he's, like, screaming at this
that's
poor, like,
quite embarrassing.
Cameraman? And then Tom Cruise was really recent. It was the latest
Mission
Impossible.
Oh, was it Top Gun? No, it was Mission Impossible.
Yeah, and they broke. There were two like techs standing within 2 feet of each other, and he freaked out at them.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
It's sort of understandable, but it's a bit psycho. So
yeah, he meant well, but he just kind of completely lost it.
Yeah. Okay. One more question each, then.
Yeah. So
still 2-1. This
one
to play for.
It's a fun one because, you know, we've not talked about animation yet, really, and that's one of my favourite film genres anyway. But can you give me the name of the city that Mike and Sully live in from Monsters, Inc.?
It's Monstropolis.
It is Monstropolis.
Yes. To be fair, I have children, so we can kind of thank them for this.
Well done, kiddies.
I knew it would come in handy at some point, having them.
Such a great film.
Yeah, that is a great film. I love the... I'm not a big fan of like big sort of connected universes as a rule. I feel like it's kind of big Hollywood putting a monopoly on the film industry just like connecting all their movies. But Pixar is just, it's so beautiful. It's so wholesome. And I I think the only Pixar film I've watched and not like completely just been in love with is probably Wall-E.
Really?
I liked it, but it just didn't grab me the same as the others.
That's one that, like, I mean, I agree. I really enjoyed it, like really, really enjoyed it. But that's one that people were like in love with.
It just didn't get me in the same way. Like, it's good. I've not got a bad word to say about it. Yeah. It just didn't really resonate with me personally. I did love Brave, though. I thought Brave was
good. I like
outstanding.
Brave.
And although that's kind of like blurred line between Pixar and Disney, but it's part of the Pixar universe, isn't it? Like with the Pixar theory, and the theory is that the old lady in Brave is Boo from something like that. Interesting stuff. Okay, last question. We are now 2-2, Jack. Ooh. So if you can get this right, you will be crowned Trivia King. And you
for now.
But you may well pass into legend.
Oh.
The Wizarding World is one of the most immersive and magical franchises in film. But which prominent character actually goes a whole film without casting a single spell, and which film? That last bit did not make sense, but I got you. Yeah.
Cool. Without casting a single spell?
Yeah. One of the sort of franchise's most prominent characters goes a whole film without casting any proper spells.
That's crazy.
It is. So think you've got your 8 Harry Potters and your 2 Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, we'll talk about Fantastic Beasts another time. I've not got enough time to talk about that. I was initially going to say Draco, but they're in like Chamber of Secrets, but that's...
No, they do right the dueling. The
exactly, they yeah, do, the dueling yeah. club. I also feel like the first kind of two, like first three are like especially like magic-y. Like you see a lot of the lessons and...
Yeah.
I'm sticking with Malfoy, but I want to say Azkaban.
Okay, is that your final answer?
Well, by that tone, I can tell it's not right, but yeah, that is my final answer.
Well, no, do you know what I was going to say?
Go on.
I have not done a thorough watch through to work out who cast what spells in what.
Okay.
So I can't say definitively that that's not right.
Okay.
But that's not the answer. Well,
that's
that
not
I've
right.
got. Yeah, but you are wrong.
You are so wrong. Go on.
It's actually Harry Potter in Philosopher's Stone.
You're joking.
No, or Sorcerer's Stone if you are a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
We don't tolerate
because
that.
They call it something else in that place.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you think about it, he doesn't cast any actual spells. So in the lesson where they're doing Wingardium Leviosa, he can't actually cast it. He's trying, but he doesn't. He casts unintentional magic at the start, but not like with a wand. He's not doing a spell.
No.
He summons a broom to his hand, but again, it's not like a proper spell. He says up. And the bit with the troll, Ron casts the spell.
Troll bogeys.
Yeah. He just puts his wand up the troll's nose.
Yeah.
And all like through the end, he doesn't cast any magic at all.
Oh, but this is going to get really pernickety, but like...
Yeah.
Can we take it back to, let's go back to Diagon Alley and Harry's trying out his wand with Mr. Ollivander.
Yeah, do you know what? This is one that I was like, does that count? Because I read this as trivia somewhere and I was like, hold on. So me and my partner watched this back. We watched most of it back yesterday and then she fell asleep.
Ugh.
As women are wont to do.
Well, they like.
No, to be fair, it's normally me that falls asleep.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't watch all of it. But at that bit, I said, does that count as a spell?
Yeah, it does.
And she pointed out he's not casting an actual spell. He waves a wand and it sort of like does something. But he doesn't know how to use magic then. So he's not consciously using magic. So he's not casting a proper spell. Like he's not casting a spell because he's just waving a wand and destroying a poor old man's livelihood.
True. And the only other thing I could possibly think of is at the end when love passes through Harry and melts poor old Quirrell's face.
That is something, again, this is probably a too much of a side note, but I want it to be heard.
Address it, go on.
Like, this whole thing of, like, love being the most powerful magic of all.
Yeah.
That's not really true, though, is it? Because the killing curse was ultimately more powerful because it killed his mum and his dad, and it, like, it fractured a soul and then put some of it into a baby in spite of the love. So the love's not really more powerful.
Do you know what? I'll let you have that one out of J.K. Rowling. I'm sure she'll sit you down and explain it.
Do you know what? If she wants to sit me down, I've got some stuff to talk to her about. So,
you know,
she's a pretty hateful woman.
Quite the nasty lady.
So before we move on to the last couple of weeks' news, I think what we need to do, Jack, is we need to recast a film.
Go on.
We need to flex our casting muscles. And that sounds wrong. I don't like that.
Like that either.
We'll run that back. We need to practice our movie casting ability. And I have decided, in my infinite wisdom, that we should recast A New Hope.
Oh, which is no easy feat.
No, it's not. But what I'm thinking is we could sort of, given that it was cast perfectly. And
it really was.
I refuse to hear anything to the contrary. We should do a modern day recasting. Because okay. Mark Hamill's too old to be Luke, like young Luke now.
Yeah.
He's old Luke now.
He is old.
And
was old.
Carrie Fisher obviously is in no position to play Leia anymore.
No, bless her.
I feel like she's probably the one who is hardest to replace. Like, I know that sounds like, you know, like Harrison Ford's iconic as Han Solo. Mark Hamill is Luke Skywalker.
Mm.
But I just feel like there is something about Carrie Fisher
that... Yeah, you can't recreate that.
No, there's a sort of magic to it that I'm not sure there's anyone that can really do that.
No.
But let's give it a try.
Do you know what? I really struggled recasting this because Star Wars, like I said before, along with Harry Potter, is like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
And I've only really just about managed to think about the main three.
Yeah.
They're pretty vanilla and kind of predictable. But if we're talking about Luke, it's been said a lot recently, like a lot of people want it. Right. Sebastian Stan.
Yeah. You know, this is, so I wanted to bring this up, right? Because I'll be perfectly honest, I've not watched The Mandalorian yet.
Have you not?
No, I've not.
Oh, no.
I've had such a like backlog of stuff to watch and it's just sort of slipped by me.
You definitely should watch it. It's brilliant.
The thing is, I know I'll love it. I know I'm going to want to sit and do all of it in one go. So, you know, but I have seen the pictures where people have sort of put him next to like a young Luke Skywalker and it is uncanny.
Yeah, it's the face structure is like spot on.
I am also on a bit of a... I've completely gone off Marvel, like completely.
Yeah, so I hear.
I've got my reasons, but I don't want to go into them too much because I don't want to like upset people. If you like it, then great. But for me, I'm just sort of getting to this point with it where I just think I don't care that much. Like, it's just everywhere. You can't do movie news without covering it. And so I've just kind of stopped writing news. Because I love writing news. Like, I love talking about what's going on.
Yeah.
But when all of the current news, like, everywhere is just about, oh, they've announced this film, or whether it's this person's in talks to play this superhero, I just think, do you know what? I don't care what they're calling the next, like, Miss Captain Marvel film or Miss, what do you call it? The one that they're doing the TV show, Miss Marvel, and, like, there's just all this talk about, like, oh, well, they've named this, and the new logo for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is this colour, which probably means a character's going to die.
Whoa.
And I just, like, is that news, though? Like, not really.
I don't know. Not really. But considering how much stuff there is and how they're constantly announcing it, everything is massive, like you said. Like, it's a huge deal. Like, people go crazy for it.
This is what I'm, like, I think, again, if that's your thing, then I in no way want to take that away from you. I think it's got people interested in going to the cinema again, and it's been a huge boom to the film industry, but it's sort of now got a monopoly on film. There are so many things that have come out in the last 5, 6, even 10 years that have just been sort of forgotten almost. Yeah, because at release, they've just been sort of...
It dominates box office,
doesn't it? Yeah, it does, and I enjoyed sort of watching up to Endgame, and then I kind of got to the end of that and thought, do you know what? That would be a great place to leave it.
I was going
to
say, that's a good, if you're going to stop, that's kind of a good, like, bookend to finish, like.
Yeah, and I feel like now they're sort of doing this thing where they're like, well, we've got Disney Plus, so we can make a load of original content. And yeah. Again, like, I think that's great, but there's so much of it. Like, I've not watched any for like 6 months, and I've missed two whole TV shows, and
yeah,
there's now like films coming out and more TV. And I just think, oh, it just hurts my head. That's fair. The fact that it's constantly stuffed with like Easter eggs and,
oh yeah,
it's like you have to have seen every single thing in order, or you miss a part, or this bit doesn't make sense to you.
That is the only problem.
I shouldn't have to have watched like 100 hours of cinema just to understand your TV show.
No.
Like, I mean, I have watched it, but I shouldn't have to.
No.
Anyway, that was a massive side note.
Wow, that, yeah, I was going to say, we got massively sidetracked. Who would you cast as Luke Skywalker?
So, well, I thought about this, right? And I have been trying to think of actors who capture the right energy and not as much how they look. Because if I was like making it from scratch, so like, I was thinking sort of in terms of not a reboot, but like if I was making it brand new today, I think I would want to cast Daniel Radcliffe as Luke Skywalker.
Ooh.
Because he's got the, I mean, he can capture that sort of whiny energy, but still be quite heroic.
Yeah.
He's also, he's quite slight of build. Like, he's not a massive guy, but he's quite convincing, like, as a sort of powerful, like, he's already shown he can do that. So
yeah,
I think he'd make a good Skywalker. I mean, he's already been in one massive franchise. Let's just
give
that'd
be like the rest of his life gone.
Bless him. He seems like a really nice guy.
Well, not, I say recently, but in his later part of his life as an adult, he'd only then watched Star Wars. Like, he hadn't seen it up until that point, like even the originals.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Like, his life must have been crazy.
Yeah, when are you going to have time to sit down and watch Star Wars?
Exactly.
But talking of Harry Potter, though, actually.
Yeah.
Princess Leia.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Emma Watson.
That's not a bad shout. She's got a sort of grumpiness to her that works for Leia.
She's got that feistiness. She's a strong female character.
Yeah, although, oh no, actually, that sort of plays into it. I was going to say, is she too well-spoken? But then Princess Leia is an actual princess.
Yeah, she is. And also, weirdly enough, and I know Carrie Fisher joked about it a lot, but in A New Hope, especially like the first half of it, for some reason, she put on like an English accent. Like, if you watch the scenes with her and Vader, she speaks really like well.
Yeah, I have noticed that.
And then just drops it. It was really weird.
That is weird. But there's lots of weird things about Star Wars. That's what makes it great. No, I think that's a good shout. So we're looking at a possible Harry Potter reunion.
Tell me you're casting.
If only we could...
go on. Tell me who you're casting for Han. It's going to be my boy Ron.
Well, it could be. It could be Rupert Grint, but he doesn't seem to be acting anymore.
No.
Although, no, that's stupid. He wouldn't. I was going to say he's got a roguish charm, but he really hasn't.
No, he hasn't.
I was going to say, though, Warwick Davis is a Harry Potter. He's basically a, do you know what? We need someone to play a goblin or a small alien or literally like any, it's just Warwick Davis just plays all of them. He was the goblins. He was every single Ewok. But I don't know for Han Solo. So this is probably a really stupid question, but have you seen Solo?
I have. And that, funny you should say that, because you're going to say Alden Ehrenreich, aren't you?
I wanted to know your thoughts on him. I'm on the fence.
Right. So this film, I don't love. I can't. The bottom line is, why? Like, who wanted this? Like, you don't need a backstory for Han Solo. You just don't.
No, I wasn't against the film on principle. Again, like you say, it's not something I would have asked for.
No.
But given that it was there, I wasn't like against it.
Oh, God, no. I still watch it.
They wrote it to be so formulaic and so just by the numbers. And I just thought, that's not what it should be.
No.
But
having said that
said, yeah, he'd captured Harrison Ford's like...
Yeah, he nailed it. I thought he was
like
really
mannerisms.
Good.
But then I sort of felt like his performance kind of hinged on the fact that he was doing a Harrison Ford impersonation.
Do you think? Because he could definitely tell he was doing some Harrison Fordy things, but I don't think he was. He made it enough of his own that I wasn't constantly going, oh, well, that's just Harrison Ford.
No, I know. But I think if you were to sort of take it as the original was never made and Harrison Ford had never been Han Solo, I think you would feel quite differently about him as Han Solo. Like, I don't know that he necessarily... I think he was cast because he looked a bit like him.
Yeah,
and he could do the mannerisms and the sort of facial expressions and stuff.
Yeah.
Again, as a side note, I thought Donald Glover was brilliant as Lando.
Yeah, he was like
that's what made the film. I just love Donald Glover in general, but
he's brilliant.
Yeah. No, I'm having trouble with Han Solo.
I really
kind of hoping you'd have like a lightning bolt.
No, I scribbled down Alden Ehrenreich, but then I was like, well, that doesn't really count because they have kind of cast him as Han Solo. Like,
yeah, I mean, it needed to be talked about, I think. You can't have a discussion about it and not mention the fact that he has played him.
Yeah, I genuinely don't know.
No, it's a tricky one. I do think like someone like Chris Pratt or someone, but then Chris Pratt is now... just a bit of a like Hollywood kind of, he's lost his charm. He had a lot of charm and he's now just a bit boring.
Well, he got Star-Lord and that was different for him. Well, it wasn't massively different from like Parks and Rec, was it? But like, apart from being absolutely shred, but,
no, exactly. But he's a little bit,
he's the man of the moment.
Yeah. And I think it's got to be someone a little bit sort of, like the underdog. Point of Han Solo is, well, it's this. Yeah, it's the same as Luke. Like, you don't want anyone who's like super good looking or super like, because the whole point is Mark Hamill was a weird looking guy when he was young.
He was a weird.
Like, he's less weird looking now, but he was super weird looking. And
the hair didn't help.
No, it really didn't. I don't know. I mean, Han Solo, like, he's not supposed to be like a heartthrob, because originally I thought Zac Efron as an actor could do a great Han Solo.
He probably could actually,
but. He's too good looking.
He is a very handsome man.
He wouldn't look right, I don't think.
But then we're talking about Harrison Ford. He is, especially like that kind of era and like Indiana Jones, what a hunk.
I mean, no, I can see your point.
Do you know what? I think I'd rather, I'd say Zac Efron, but failing that, I wouldn't want it. Cancel Star Wars. If Harrison Ford is not Han Solo, I genuinely don't think it wouldn't work.
Well, I mean... No, oh, no, it doesn't really work. I was going to say, you could just have an old Harrison Ford as Han Solo, but...
That would be funny.
It would be weird.
It would be so weird.
Like, old Harrison Ford and Emma Watson start getting it on.
Oh,
bit weird.
Nobody wants to see that.
Okay, well, those are our choices. Or...
I'm going to think more about that.
We could have a Zac Efron at the start, and then he gets stuck in, like, some sort of temporal displacement, and he ages by, like, 40 years, and then he's Harrison Ford.
That would work.
Yeah, so now we've rewritten Star Wars 2.
Yeah.
Sorry, George Lucas.
Sorry, Mr. Neckbeard.
Mr. Goiter.
Mr.
I once read this joke that I have now passed on to my almost six-year-old daughter, which she thinks is hilarious, even though she doesn't get it. But it's just that Goiter, I hardly know her, is a popular joke in the Lucas household. And also, like, there's so many jokes about how, like, George Lucas is actually a talentless hack. It's his neck that does all the work.
Yeah, it's kind of mesmerizing. I can't help but, like, every time I watch, like, some documentary, I'm just drawn to the neck.
Yeah, he's something else, is Mr. Lucas. But
genius.
He's created an awful lot of great stuff. And then a bit of not so great stuff.
Yeah.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Mutt Williams. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to the news, Jack. Have you been keeping up with what's going on in the
I have,
the
I movie have a
news?
Little bit. See, I'm trying to minimize my like social media usage time because it's way too prominent. But I do use Twitter quite a lot because that's how I kind of get my news. It seems to be the most like unbiased news. But anyway,
yeah,
I follow quite a few film things, and the Golden Globes seems to be...
Yes, this is big news.
Controversial.
So this has just been the last couple of days. This has been sort of really big. It kind of, I mean, it didn't start here, but it's kind of resurfaced because Tom Cruise gave back his Golden Globes. Did you see that?
I actually didn't see that.
Yeah, so he basically took this whole controversy that's around them. It's kind of resurfaced because it's been cancelled on NBC now for next year.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise has kind of, I don't know, I guess he's just had enough of their shady business practices. And he just gave his 3 Golden Globes back.
Wow.
Said he didn't want them because of the awful things that the HFPA have been doing.
That's fair.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, the HFPA are the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, and they're basically the people who run the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
They're a sort of collective of film journalists and sort of entertainment journalists, and there's been a lot of stuff about them sort of circulating over the last few years in particular. Mm. It started with Brendan Fraser coming out with his sort of story of being sexually assaulted by the HFPA president, Philip Burke, who sounds appropriately named.
Yeah.
And it's sort of from there a lot more's come out about they sort of control their membership quite tightly. They make it quite difficult for any new journalists to get in. And they've been taking massive kickbacks from, you know, they get paid like millions to be a part of the HFPA when it's supposed to be a non-profit. And they also take sort of, you know, insider swag like trips to film sets, time with stars, things like that.
Shady
in order to
things.
Yeah, they kind of curry favor, and like it's a bit iffy. There's also a massive conversation around their, I mean, I don't want to be too sort of damning, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but their last black member was present in 2002.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, and considering, again, this is the Foreign Press Association for Hollywood. Yeah. So this should be as diverse as it comes. This should be like a representative from as many countries as possible.
Every background.
And they have just not done that at all.
Which baffles me. I don't get how.
No, I mean, this is exactly kind of the problem is people are, I mean, it's blatant racism. There's no way around it.
No,
it is just prejudice completely. Yeah. And there's been sort of reports of people sort of trying to get in with them, and they just say sort of flat no's to people because you have to be sponsored by 2 existing members to be sort of inducted. And yeah, so they've been called out. And in sort of recent times, Amazon, Netflix, and Warner Brothers, or Warner Media, have all just kind of severed ties.
That's big.
Which, yeah, and that's basically led to NBC normally broadcast the Golden Globes, and they've, I'm sort of hesitant to say that they've done it for the same reason, because to be perfectly honest, they haven't.
No.
They've done it because there's been so much pressure
to
do it. I mean, this has been around for years now, and
it does beg the question, why has it taken this long?
Yeah, it's
like
because
anything to happen.
Yeah, there's so many eyes on it now, and that's where, like, I talk a lot of smack about Tom Cruise. I do. He's a weird guy.
He's a strange man.
He seems quite unpleasant to a lot of people.
However,
what he's done here is genuinely is something to respect, because he's seen this going on, and he's like, do you know what? Have these back. I don't want them.
Yeah,
it's brought more attention to it, and it's kind of prompted this whole, like, okay, we need to cover this again because nothing's changed. They said it would change. It's not changed. And, I mean, there's now a big discussion about whether or not the Golden Globes will even go ahead next year because they've not got a broadcaster now.
No, that's
and
crazy.
And it's looking like they'll have to take at least next year just out. And if they can fix their problems, they might be back in 2023. Now, Jack, one piece of news I did come across, it was a bit of a footnote, but I think you'll genuinely find this quite funny, the same way that I did. One of the moves that the HFPA have made to sort of remedy this situation is they've hired a new person. Would you like to know what that person's job role is?
I am intrigued. Go on.
Okay. So in March of this year, they have hired someone to be their strategic diversity officer. So let's just, for people who might not kind of read too much into things like that, Let's just break that down.
Oh, dear.
Strategic diversity officer. This is a person in charge of strategic diversity. So, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that's, okay, so if we hire like maybe three black people, one from Africa somewhere, and one from America, and one from Europe, then we're kind of covering all our bases.
Yeah, we've ticked all the boxes.
Yeah, we can, we could maybe hire an Asian as well and just be really forward thinking. And we should probably hire someone from Bollywood. And that's strategic diversity.
Covered all the bases.
That name is, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the problem.
Yeah, from the get-go. Like,
yeah, it's...
You can't make it up, although clearly you can make it up. That is so weird.
It's... The saddest part is that this even has to be a conversation. Like, in this day and age, that this has to be said. But you don't need to be strategically diverse. You just need to be diverse because the world is diverse. And especially when you look at film and the way that that's going, like, again, this has taken far too long. And I'm not saying that it hasn't, but the Oscars this year, they were historic. And, you know, we are slowly moving in the right direction.
Very slowly.
Yeah, the HFPA have just kind of resisted that for as long as possible. And now people are saying, like, no more. You're not doing this anymore. That's ridiculous. And
quite rightfully.
I mean, it's about time, really. Yeah. Like, quite frankly, it needs to happen. So, yeah, good riddance, Golden Globes.
Yeah, I never really watched it. And I,
it's a poor man's Oscars.
It is. And talking of Oscars, as much as I used to watch it, like, actually would stay up or I'd catch it the next day and I'd watch it start to finish. But I just find myself, I don't care anymore. Like, apart from Bong Joon-ho winning Best Picture for Parasite is monumental because it was the first, was it first foreign film?
Like, I mean, something like that. It was, I haven't got
I'm going to look it up so and get it right because it deserves it. Because it was well deserved. But that in itself, it's taken that long for that to happen is crazy.
It is. It's, but the Oscars, I mean, all of these award ceremonies are pretty stuffy. They always give off this air of being really sort of exclusive, kind of gatekept sort of things.
Definitely.
It's not something that I take a massive interest in particular, because I just think, I mean, filmmaking is art and art is subjective. So I don't need to be told what's good. Like, I'll decide what I think is good. And I don't really care what a load of people in Hollywood have voted for. Yeah, I mean, we both love The Sandman, and he has not won anywhere near enough awards.
No.
But what can you do? You know, I don't really care that other people don't like him. I think he's brilliant, and I get a lot of enjoyment from his films, and I know you do too. And that's what art is about. It's not about pleasing everyone. It's just about making something that people will enjoy or some people will enjoy. So, yeah, I mean, that's that about the Golden Globes, I guess.
Yeah. Good riddance.
Yeah, the other kind of news that's come up since we last recorded, this is a week and a bit old now, I guess, but Marvel have announced their Phase 4 lineup.
Which I know you're ecstatic for.
I take a passing interest in it because I've always been kind of something of a comic fan, and, you know, what they're doing is impressive. It's just a bit too much for me.
Superhero fatigue.
Yeah, definitely. And they're sort of doing this thing now where they're like, oh, we're going to try and sort of experiment with our sort of formula and see what we can do. And like Thor Ragnarok did really well, and that was a bit of a departure, and we're going to try and do more. And I, you know, fair enough, like, go ahead and do that. But I'm not massively excited about it. Announced a lot of titles, like a lot.
Well, they always do, don't they? I remember seeing, is it at like Disney Expo, D23, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
They just absolutely, like, they put like a screen up and it was just covered. There is so much stuff, like films, series. I mean, personally, I'm still like quite invested in it. Like, I still actively watch everyone at the cinema. I watch all the series. Having said that, I haven't loved all of them, but I'm still, at the moment, I've not gotten sick of it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten to a point where I've left it for a while now. Like, I've not watched the series. I'm not likely to now, I don't think, really. No. like not for a long time. And I think by the time I've had a chance to kind of come round on it, I think so much will have been released. And it's daunting. Like, you look at the amount that they've released. Like, I've got a list of the film titles they've got, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 films just for the next, like, 2 years.
Yeah, that's actually crazy.
Yeah, that's, like, 2.5 years worth of films. They're going to have, like, 10 films. There's about as many series, maybe slightly more.
They're sitting on so many series.
Which, yeah, and that's great. But it's also kind of not great. That's just
especially
a bit
if
much
you're
for me.
Martin Scorsese.
Exactly. Exactly. I guess kind of the only other news really is what trailers have come out this week. That's kind of, there's been a few. The Venom sequel. There's a trailer for that.
You have or haven't?
No, I haven't.
What, the first one?
I've not watched either the first one or the trailer for the second.
I mean, the trailer for the second one looks exactly the same as the first one. I don't turn films off regularly, if ever. I could not finish that film. It was so bad.
Yeah, I wanted to give it a try, but I just couldn't bring myself to. And like, I like Tom Hardy. I think he's pretty good.
Tom Hardy.
He's been in some good stuff. He's, you know, he seems like a really, really cool guy. And he seems like he's one of those people who seems like a much better actor than he gets credit for.
He is underrated for the films that people don't watch. Like, great as Bane, fantastic. But like, if you're talking about performances, Bronson is one of the best things he's ever done, if not his best thing.
Rock and Roller, he was great in that. He kind of made that film for me, I think. And it was quite a big ensemble cast, but he was brilliant. Venom just didn't... I like, about three people sent me the trailer, like a link to the trailer. Mm. And I was like, oh, cool, thanks. And I just haven't opened it. I saw this stuff about, like, oh, the Daily Bugle logo is the same in the Venom trailer as it was in, like, Sam Raimi's...
the first one, I think.
Trilogy, or maybe it was the Andrew Garfield ones, but this proves that they might exist in a shared universe, and
that's a whole nother thing.
I just don't care.
Yeah,
it's that whole, like, oh, are they starting their own extended universe? No, they're not starting their own extended universe, because they couldn't compete,
Sony still owns half of the property, and they won't give it fully to Disney.
No, exactly. It's a mess, and it's not going to be cleared up anytime soon. What I have watched is, I don't know if you saw it, came out today, is the new A24, The Green Knight.
I was hoping
did you see the trailer?
Because I've been waiting for this for a very long time. I remember, I think it's about a year ago, they dropped the first trailer, and I was just like, this is right up my street. It looks so good.
Yeah, it looks amazing. And Dev Patel, to me, is one of the best actors that isn't, like, regularly talked about. You know,
And he's one of the best to come out of the UK.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about him. Like, when he's in something, he comes up. Like, there was a lot of talk about him as the David Copperfield thing
last year.
And, you know, people were like, oh, he was brilliant. But it then just dies. Like, people just stop talking about him. And, you know, he's done so many incredible films where he's been incredible. I think the only film he's been in that wasn't incredible, or the only film I've seen with him in that wasn't incredible, was The Last Airbender, which...
I've not seen it, but I know.
I personally didn't hate it. There is a review on the site. If you go back, it's an unpopularity content. If you want to have a read of my review... I think it's quite harshly criticised, and it's not as bad as people make out it is, but he wasn't great in it, but it wasn't a great movie. So, you know, but he
not entirely his fault.
No, he's an impressive actor, and he looks very good. Yeah, he just looks like he was made for that part. Do you know what
I mean? He looks awesome in that costume. He looks so cool.
Yeah, and I think, like, that sort of fantasy historical kind of setting will give him quite a good opportunity to show off maybe some of his action chops. We don't really see him doing action. So I'm interested to see that. But I love fantasy. I think it's, like, fantasy stories are always, like, to me, quite engaging.
Definitely.
So I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that very much.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen any other... there's been other trailers come out. Have you seen any that have grabbed you? I don't think I have.
I don't think for any, like... Well, I probably have, but not that I've been paying attention. To be honest, I've just been waiting for the Green Knight. Yeah. I almost said the Green Hornet then. That was almost...
That was not as good.
Not as popular. But yes, no, looking forward to that very much.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the news, I guess, for this week then. Yeah. We maybe need to watch more trailers for next time, but I don't really care. Unless it's a film I'm excited for, I just think, eh. And sometimes it goes the other way. Like, if I'm really excited, I don't watch the trailer because I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I want to go in blind.
Yeah, if I know I'm going to... Like, I never bothered watching the trailers for the new Star Wars movies because I just thought, like, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go and see it. You don't need to show me a trailer. Just tell me when it's out and I'll go and see it.
Yeah, you've got my money.
Basically. Disney, I'll give you my money for that at least.
Yeah.
You might not need it with your trillions of dollars, but...
You own everything.
You can have mine too. Okay, so our last... we haven't really come up with a definitive name, have we?
I like segments, I can't lie.
I feel like we've got to say segment. I'll stop calling them juicy. Maybe that's what I need to do. Just
you
no
don't
more
have
juicy
to get
segments.
Descriptive with it. Just
no more.
Segment is fine.
Segment. Our last segment is pet peeves.
Ooh.
So, Jack, what has been annoying you lately?
Well, it's not just in films, actually, now I think about it. It's TV as well, but mainly films. People playing video games. Why? Why are they swinging controllers about and going absolutely insane and like ridiculous, like button mashing? And it just, nobody plays games like that.
I do. I also think, like, I completely get that. But I also think it really dates a film when you put video games in. It really does.
Yeah, like, especially if you put like a Nintendo
properly
in
date
there.
It because. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's. I just think, I don't think it's done as badly now or sort of recently, but back in sort of like the 80s, especially in the early 90s, there was a lot of like, whoa, look at this like cutting edge.
I'm a kid. Whoa.
Yeah. And you watch it and you're like, oh man, you're playing Pong. If only you knew.
Well, also thinking about it now, that's probably product placement as well. Like you're like, oh, those kids are having a great time like playing whatever it is, like Super Mario. Like,
I mean, obvious product placement really annoys me, but I don't think there's a way to do it subtly. Like, you're either doing it or you're not.
Got to get money
somehow,
I guess.
Whether it's your giant, like, McDonald's billboards in Superman 2 or something much more subtle, it's still there. It's still like, oh, stop trying to sell me stuff.
Yeah, I will go and buy Coca-Cola, like, just give it a break.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. That's a good one. So I mean, I kind of have struggled. I've sort of got two.
Go on.
Okay, so the biggest one is something that's been annoying me. It annoys me a lot, always has, is exposition dumps.
Yeah, that's lazy.
I mean, I get it. Like, I do get it. And writing is quite difficult, I think, for a lot of people. I do have a background as a writer for people who are interested, which is probably no one.
Oh, that's not true.
No, but I do a lot of writing, and I have always put so much into making sure that my dialogue is realistic, because I think good writing and, you know, good screenwriting also lives and dies on good dialogue. Like,
definitely, it completely takes you out of it.
Yeah, and I just think, like, a big part of good dialogue is knowing how to work things in to explain kind of what's going on without just like beating people over the head with it.
Mm.
Like, I was watching, I honestly can't even remember what it was. I mean, actually, there was a lot of it in the final season of Parks and Rec, which I'm really sad to say, because I love that show. But there was a lot of like, it kind of jumped ahead a couple of years and they had to do so much like catching up through just like wonky dialogue.
Yeah.
And it was like, but people don't talk like that. Like, oh, no. Well, we really need to like work hard because our kids are now 7. Like, okay, but you're telling that to the person you had the child with. They'll remember how old the children are.
Yeah, they should know that.
Yeah, it just seems really like, that really annoys me. The other one, this is probably, I mean, I can really easily argue against this myself. So I'm probably being a grumpy old man. But I really hate extensive CGI.
Yeah.
Like, when they use CGI for things that you don't need to use CGI for.
Also, it depends how well it's done, I guess.
Yeah, but see, this is my issue, right?
Have you got a particular example?
No. Do you know what? I haven't, because every example I could think of, I was like, oh, but really, that would be really hard to do practically.
Right, okay.
Like, I get it. If doing something practically is going to be really difficult, like, one of the worst bits of CGI in film history is... it's quite notoriously The Mummy Returns, The Scorpion King.
Yeah. Nightmare but fuel.
When you really think about it, that would be really hard to do with practical effects.
I don't know, would it though?
Well, yes and no. Like, to do the whole thing practically would be.
Yeah, probably quite expensive as well.
They could have done something where they basically just sort of gave The Rock some like extra kind of face makeup and stuff, like some prosthetics and whatever, and then sort of had him up on some sort of rig and CGI'd the giant scorpion leg body on. Because the top half of him was human, the Scorpion King.
Yeah, that's right.
Monster. You know, they could have done that. But I sort of get why they didn't, sort of. But then, like, stuff like CGI flames. Like, they're having a campfire.
There's no need for that.
And it's CGI. Like, why? Just have a real fire. Like, I get that there's probably an insurance question. That's sort of like, oh, well, it brings a cost down if we have fake flames. But like CGI campfires, like CGI flames, it's just lazy. Just start an actual fire. Yeah. You know, yeah. There's a lot more like out there that you could probably talk about. I don't want to go into too much depth because no one cares as much as I do. But it just annoys me. I just think like
just build
practical effects are tried and true. You look at... Lord of the Rings. I would say when you watch them back now, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, like together, Lord of the Rings still, considering it's like a good, what, 10, 15 years older than The Hobbit?
Probably, yeah.
I think the first Hobbit film might have been like 2012, yeah. Something like that. So you're looking at like 10 years, I guess. But Lord of the Rings looks better.
It still holds up.
It's aged like perfectly because the practical effects were extensive. They didn't... There was barely any CGI other than like in the Return of the King, the ghost soldiers and pirate people and...
Oh, and the elephants.
That was a bit... Yeah, they weren't good. They did not look good.
No.
Other than that, like the first two films in particular, it was pretty much all practical effects and it looked really good. And when I say like, oh, but the Scorpion King, it was difficult to do. Yeah, probably. But then it's not easy to make like three adult-sized actors or four adult-sized actors look like hobbits and
hobbits,
then one
yeah.
look like a slightly taller dwarf. Like John Rhys-Davies, who played Gimli, was the tallest of all of the actors in the Fellowship.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And they made him a dwarf and it's not jarring like at all.
No.
And they did it without CGI. They did it without, you know, any of that. And as a result, it's aged really well. And The Hobbit, like there's the barrel scene.
Oh,
do you know the one on the, I think it's the second film when they get that. And it's just like, but this, 10 years later, this looked bad now.
It looked bad at the time.
Yeah. And I just think CGI is kind of, I mean, at best, CGI is hit and miss.
Yeah. I think, I can't remember who said it, but someone said something along the lines of like, it should be a tool that you kind of use if you, you know, you need to. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. You fill in the gaps with it, but you don't. Yeah. And again, like, I don't want to be too much of a Harry Potter fanboy either, because we've talked about it a lot, but Harry Potter doesn't use a massive amount of CGI. It's just for like the spell effects and stuff. And
yeah, Quidditch. And...
Because it's not... Yeah, the Quidditch in the first couple of films, it doesn't look great.
A little bit ropey.
But again, because that would have been really hard to do physically, like make the Quidditch towers and the, you know...
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been easy. And it hasn't aged too badly, considering they're like 20 years old. But
yeah, 20, yeah.
You know, when you look at like the spell effects and stuff, it's not drastic CGI and it hasn't aged badly because it's not massive. Like most
minimal,
of the acting is kind of, is being done by proper people. And then the use of like prosthetics, especially for the goblins and stuff, like they still look really good. And
yeah, they look great.
There's some, yeah. So CGI annoys me, basically, is the takeaway
bad
from
CGI.
That. CGI. Yeah, and I've just used up two pet peeves in one, so
that's right.
That's kind of cemented my reputation as a crotchety old man.
Miserable, miserable man.
Yeah. I guess, Jack, that brings us to the end of this podcast, episode podcast, not the actual podcast. We will make more.
Oh, yeah, I should hope so. I need two episodes in.
Yeah, two episodes in. We're not retiring it yet.
Call it a day.
But if you're listening, you had better send this out to literally everyone you know, because this is... It's up to you.
Little baby.
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
Oh, beautiful.
I got in there before you could. That was amazing.
Thanks. I do practice quite a lot.
Oh, that was really good. Okay. So, right, before we go, I just want to plug the social medias because, you know, they're growing, but they're growing slowly. And I am very disappointed in the internet.
Aren't we all?
I'm not. There are a lot of really lovely people who follow what I do at Corner of Film and the writing I do and the, you know, interact with me online and stuff. And they're brilliant. And I love you for that. But also, where are all the new people at?
Hiding somewhere.
Well, they better stop hiding and get out because I'm not playing anymore. So you can follow Corner of Film on all of the social medias at Corner of Film. That's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which everything goes up on all of them. Instagram, I make custom thumbnails for everything I post. So check that out. You can also follow this podcast on Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, and hopefully very, very soon, Apple Podcasts.
Ooh.
I've submitted to them, and I'm just waiting to hear back. So
nice.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard their standards are quite low because it's Apple. All they care about is charging you extortionate amounts for technology. So you should be able to get it on there on your ridiculously expensive phone or tablet or computer or
watch or whatever it is.
Watch or, yeah.
People do. Know,
smart bathtub, whatever they're making now. So, yeah, please follow us everywhere. Share this with everyone you know. Take it to your grandparents who probably won't understand what we're talking about. Captive audience.
It's good company.
Yeah, if you've got a bedbound relative, please play this podcast to them. Yeah. So to end the podcast, last week we had a quote from the great Bill and Ted. I'd like to end this podcast with a bit of a change of pace. So I'm going to see us out now. Life is not the amount of breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. That's Alex Hitchens from 2005 romantic comedy Hitch.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Okay, well, Jack, I'm going to press the button now.
Goodbye, Niall.
Goodbye, Jack. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and Godspeed.
See you later.
Bye.